This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Dick Reiber, our guest today. He's 93 years old now, but he was just 23 during the Battle of the Bulge, serving with the 82nd Airborne Division as an ammunition carrier. He was trying to deliver more rounds through the snow to his machine gunner when an enemy artillery shell ended the war for him. So, Dick, take us back, January 4th, 1945, to that snow-covered terrain of Belgium.
I was down on my knees and squatting way down.
But a shell hits, and pieces of it.
Apparently hit just close to me, too, because the angle that the scar was through is through my arm, and the angle that this hit me.
So it hits your right shoulder and the right side of your face.
It hit my arm right in here.
Yep, your bicep. Your right bicep and tricep and the right side of your face.
And the right side of my face.
What did that feel like?
Wasn't much feeling to it. It was just a big thunder. Boom.
I mean, did it feel like...
Big noise.
Felt like Joe Louis slugging you in the face or something?
Well, I didn't really have any much feeling there. I didn't really have much feeling till later, till after it had...
Did it stun you? Did it knock you out?
I don't think it did, but I was only one round there for 75 or 100 feet, so I don't have any idea of what else was.
So it hits you, and... I'm sure at some point you realize how bad it is.
Well, after I spit that chunk of jawbone out, yes, I did.
So explain to us what it did to your jaw.
Actually, it took out a piece of the upper maxillary bone on the right side and opened a hole. I didn't know at the time, but later I found out it opened a hole into the right maxillary sinus. Then I also got... couple of holes through my upper arm here, which were not really serious.
And another piece of it, maybe an inch long, settled in the left side of your jaw.
No, it went in here.
On the right side.
Stopped here.
And stopped in your left jaw.
Yep. And it did crack the roof of my mouth. It separated the two bones that formed the roof of your mouth there.
That sounds like a bloody mess.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
Maybe I did. I don't really recall the fear as such.
Did you think you were about to die?
I knew there was a good chance that I wouldn't find an aid man back there if I didn't get moving, but I could still walk. And I wondered a time or two how much worse that I would might have been injured if I hadn't been dressed for cold weather. I had on an undershirt, a knit undershirt. Winter, a wool shirt, a sweater, a combat jacket, which is similar to what they use nowadays as a combat jacket, and a wool overcoat. And that went through all of that to hit me there.
Yeah. Well, and even with your face. I mean, if it's an inch up, your eyes are gone, or your nose is gone, or both, right?
I was just, I don't know. I couldn't really... see that it was, I felt a shivery fear.
Right. Oh, I'm just thinking now. I mean, how fortunate, not that I want to make light of anything you've gone through for 70 years, but how much worse it could have been. Or if you hadn't gotten down at all, maybe it takes out your midsection and you die there. But as it stands, your face is blown open. You've got a wound in your upper arm, and you're leaving a trail of blood in the snow because you can walk trying to find an aid man.
I found one. Got back there, and I think he gave me some kind of a anesthetic shot.
Morphine or something?
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And next thing I remember is riding a stretcher that was anchored on the back of a Jeep.
So if you hadn't found a medic, who knows? You might have died out there in the snow, but they're able to get you back on this Jeep to a field hospital in Belgium.
They kept me there for, I think, a week or 10 days. and did some minor trimming, I imagine. I know they did something in my mouth there, but they were very efficient with the anesthesia. And
so you're pretty out of it most of the time. But at some point, they had to wire your jaw shut?
They did. The funny thing was, they put those rubber bands on there. 2 months later, after I got back to the hospital in England, somebody gave me a pair of little scissors to hang on a cord around my neck to cut that in case I got nauseated. 2 months later. Fortunately, I wasn't easily nauseated.
I guess so, if you never got seasick on the first transatlantic journey you had. But this is a lot to be dealing with. And here you're 23 years old, and your face has been blown half to bits, and your jaw's wired shut. How are your feelings about all of that?
Oddly enough, I hadn't really had a lot of it happened.
It didn't bother you that much?
Well, it didn't eat at me. Like, I understand that some of the people that got badly injured, it did eat at them. But for some reason or another, it just wasn't my turn.
Did you ever have a concern about what your wife was going to think of you now?
No. She was notified that I'd been injured, and I was able to tell her some little bit about it. Actually, it broke the hinge process on both sides of my jaw, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a dental problem ever since. The VA does try to do for it. In fact, they just recently made me a new denture.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can tell you're not a complainer. You're not asking for sympathy here. But you've had to deal with a lot for the last 70 years.
Well, it's a great life if you don't weaken. My problem is I was born weak. What's your excuse?
I know you're not looking to say woe is me and make us all feel sorry for you or anything, but this was a long, drawn-out process for you to recover from this injury. How many years were you recuperating in hospitals overseas and back home?
Well, I was injured in January of 45.
Right.
It was in March, I believe, when I finally went to work there in L.A.
March of what year?
47.
So more than 2 years.
They'd do a little adjustment, tissue rearrangement, get it started healing, and then send me home for a while. Well, at the time, in fact, when I knew I was about to be shipped over, I think it was up near Boston at the time, she said she was coming to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when she got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
We had a son, but unfortunately, he developed the wrong kind of bug, and he only lived to be about 32.
But you're in the hospital, and you find out you're a dad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What was that like?
But, well, that was come near as being a shock to me as anything.
And that wasn't the only news that would catch you off guard while you were recovering. They moved you from a hospital in Belgium to one in England. And right before you came back to the States, April of 1945, you got some other news that would have all of America mourning.
I was in Bristol, England. They told me to go down for an early mass, because I was on a liquid diet then because my teeth were wired shut.
Right.
And I got back to here on my bed with a few Christmas presents I'd been sent that had finally caught up with me. We were loaded aboard ship that afternoon.
Yeah.
The next day they told us Roosevelt died.
Wow. Another thing that I wonder. So this has been, I mean, January of 45, we're talking a little more than 70 years now since this happened to you.
Yes.
What's been the hardest thing to deal with, the most challenging impact on your life from that shell?
That's a hard one to answer. Sometimes it was just a case of putting one foot in front of the other, keeping going.
I'm sure there were days where that was hard, where maybe you didn't want to.
There have been days when I didn't want to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What gave you hope when your face is blown half to bits and you don't know if it's ever going to be better? Where do you find that hope to keep going?
That's almost an unanswerable question.
Yeah?
I can't pin it down.
It's just there somewhere inside you?
I don't really know. I have thought about a few things like that when I didn't get to sleep in the hurry at night. But tomorrow is out there waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it might just be better than today.
keep going and find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that I think it's going to be any better or any worse. It will probably be a little different.
But it's worth finding out.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, before I forget, I want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us about it, because, you know, a lot of us can't understand the price that's been paid for our freedom unless we hear from someone like you.
Well, if you want a statement of fact, I consider that what little bit I actually contributed to the war wasn't enough to brag about.
That puts you in real good company.
I kept going, but it wasn't. I didn't wipe out an enemy regiment or even an enemy foxhole, as far as I knew, but I kept going.
And what keeps you going now?
Probably just momentum.
That's great. I've got to ask you, anyone that's been married 72 years has to have some wisdom to share with the rest of us who aspire to that kind of thing. What would you say is the secret to a long-lasting marriage?
First of all, learn that a disagreement is not a final answer. Any decision I make today is not a final answer. It's a direction for consideration for what to do tomorrow, that's all. Like I said, I never tried to make anything of it that I even came back alive, because I didn't feel that I'd done all that much over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did what they asked of you.
And the VA really pays me beautifully, too. They do.
Good. Should be that way. Well, when you consider the big picture, you were one of more than 16 million that went over there. And the war was won, and the enemy was defeated. And the horrors that enemy had committed were exposed and put a stop to. Does that give you some satisfaction?
Overall, we succeeded. Yes.
And do you think there's a lesson in any of that for us today, the way our world is now?
It's not a one-on-one comparison. We had a problem there, and although in the process various people made a lot of mistakes, we finally came to an answer. It's what we'll have to keep on doing. We'll make mistakes, but we're going to have an answer sooner or later.
You know, those are simple but really relevant words for the current state of our world. That is World War II veteran Dick Reiber, 93 years old. You can find a photo of him on hometownheroesradio.com, also, of course, on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And thanks to the sponsorship support of EECU, Dick and his wife of 72 years, Lois, are going to receive CD copies of this program. EECU makes that possible for every veteran who appears on Hometown Heroes. Dick is also working on an application for Central Valley Honor Flight. And remember, wherever it is that you're listening today, there is an Honor Flight hub somewhere in your area. Volunteers who are hoping to make it possible for every World War II veteran who wants to visit the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., to have that opportunity free of charge. So go to honorflight.org to find that Honor Flight group near you. We're out of time on Hometown Heroes today. Thanks for spending this hour with us. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.